So, welcome to the course, everyone. So this is the course about organization theory, and this is the first introductory lecture about organization theory and about our course requirements. We are studying organization theory during the days and during the and having the materials that you have been delivered earlier, and also we have prepared for you some tasks because we don't have the possibility to discuss during the lectures. So something about the course requirements and working methods. So there will be lectures during the 3 days that you can take part whenever you want, because they are video lectures. And in addition to that, you are working with the diaries with all other lectures. In fact, these introductory lectures, you shouldn't write the diary at all, but the others, there are some tasks that you can read. Fields that what we are going to cover during the lectures are organization theory research fields. We talk about history of organization theories, especially postmodern theory and presence. Also organization theory and research practices. Current trends in organization theory, and especially we are concentrating on narrative organization theory or organization theory approach. So then we talk something about how we can apply organization theory in research, and especially in this final essay that you are going to write, it is exactly about the application, how you apply organization theory in your own work and own ideas. We know that you are, of course, in a very having many levels. Someone has started, someone is almost finishing. So of course you also apply it different ways. We also deal with some methodological aspects because I think that they are really related to organization theory and different branches, and it's very difficult to talk about theories recurring at least somehow to methodologies. So especially in this first lecture, I'm going to talk about some of the basic issues beyond organization theory. So we have also these articles delivered. They are 30 articles that you can of course make some choice that you find most important, most supportive for your own work. But we hope that you take your time and take a look over all the articles, because they are somehow part of all the lectures as well. So then you write it individual diaries. There will be 3 of them, one for the first day, one for the second, and one for the third day. And then this final essay, then you have some separate instructions for that. Something about the aims of the course. When you are reading all this theoretical background or research on organizations and management, we are somehow hoping that you find essential things that you can apply in your own work. And also you can compare some different theory approaches. So also when you read something, you probably would be willing to see what is this reading, what is this article, what are the theoretical assumptions they are dealing with in this article. So it is also the way to develop critical understanding in studying this field of organization. Also the skills to combine theories, and because I mean they are very essential part of doctoral work. In fact, you are somehow contributing something for the theories. Even if you have empirical study, you are contributing for the theories and theory development. Then about the final essay, you have already the instructions for that. And I don't go them into detail here. So then we can start about theories. What are theories and why there are theories? Well, very old phrase from Kurt Lewin is that theory, there is nothing as practical as a good theory, which means that empiria and theory are not the opposite, but in a way that they really go together. And researchers need theories in order to progress their research. No one wants to start from the beginning so that there is nothing to read, nothing but open space. But you need theories, you need to read in order to write. And that's an interaction that you have noticed, that sometimes when you don't go further with your work, you need to go to the earlier studies, and then you find something that helps you to work further. So a new theory can provide a lot of insight into the field. New theory is something that usually in management area, theories are quite practical, and there are many practical applications like quality management. It really started for kind of academic work, but now it's spread everywhere, and there are systems for quality management, and they are applications sold and bought everywhere for that. Also, good theory identifies what factors should be studied, how and why they are related. So somehow theory combines everything. It's an approach that you need, that you have this analysis for the starting of your work. Also, theories are needed in order to be critical. We need critical insights in order to be creative and find new perspectives in studies. And in fact, creativity and imagination are always there. It's not that just you apply something old, but you are creating something new. And that's also the challenge in every research work. Then why organization theories? So management science develops through theory building. And especially organization theory is applying many branches of science: organization behavior, psychology, human resource management. They are very near to organization theory field, so it is a kind of multidisciplinary in its background. But organization theory tries to combine them all together. We are somehow studying using organization theory and seeing what is there at the background, because they are understanding at the organizational level the issues. While psychology is for the individuals, and sociology is for the group studies, political sciences are for the other issues, but organization theory studies, they somehow combine the elements, but study them in the frame of organization. So management science is quite young discipline still compared to, well, psychoanalysis is pretty old. And science is, they started very early, I mean, in say 17th century even. But management as we see it now, I mean, organization studies, is somehow rather young discipline. It identifies organization studies as a unique and separate field compared to other disciplines. So science. So it, in a way, even somehow gives identity to organization. Even if we read it, it's very, very heterogeneous. And in fact, what is organization theory? It studies what has been done in this field and how we can identify, classify all this that we read and what are the schemas there somehow, how new knowledge what is created and how we can organize new knowledge. And there is also the legitimization aspect because the organization theory has the right to be a kind of separate branch of science because of this legitimization, using legitimate academic work somehow. That is about the collectiveness, that is about the organization, not only for the multidisciplinary other fields somehow in science. And Mary So has said that concepts are empty baskets to be filled with experience. So in a way, it's also caused us for empirical work. We have to have experience, we have to have empirical data in order to find new concepts or somehow use old concepts to new understanding. And I just refer here to some work from that is about reflexivity in organization studies, especially Sunderland and Sivasan has studied, wrote a paper about organization research and how it is really highly determined by antecedent knowledge, metaphors and concepts. Because we cannot sense organizations, we always approach them by concepts. Of course we can have the visual understanding, the auditive understanding, we can even go to the restaurant which is an organization, we can smell it's the food there and so on. We can sense them, no, of course, but at the same time it's only one part of them. But if you study organizations, you have to make definitions and you have to use concepts. So what is the concept of organization? Well, it is concepted, conceptually constructed, but at the same time, we use empiria when we study it. And participants of organizations are more or less social actors, and managers are intentional participants in this reality. And this is a kind of beginning for our understanding of organizations as socially constructed. So culture and social construction are probably at the heart of organizations and probably at the heart of organization theory that way, when we understand them in a broad way. So it is very seldom that we can find facts, but we can find somehow situated knowledge in organizational studies. We can study organizations in their environments. We shouldn't somehow forget it's also elements of organizations are multiple. They are physical, cultural, social, technological, whatever. But they are also separated from their outer environment, even if they overlap with that many ways. And there are aims to define the meaning of organizations. They serve for some outer goals. Usually it is said that organizations are separated from some other social constructions because they are instruments to achieve some goals. There is some goal orientation usually. They are part of our understanding about organizations. At the same time, when it is this kind of achievement point of view or so on, there is the ambiguity point of view. So organizations also are chaotic. They are creative. They are systems with a lot of irrationality or ambiguity or hypocrisies. There are many, many things happening there. So it's not only some integration and rationality which is there present. And James Marsh has even brought this foolishness concept into organization studies, how emphasizing that organizations are rational or irrational, but at the same time we can even see some foolishness there, which is separate from the both opposite concepts. Somehow it means that foolishness breaks the rules somehow. It's a creative openness that we need to have in order to create something new there. And he has a nice article about this foolishness. And also one part of his thinking is in one article that is at the bunch of papers you have as a reading material in this course. So organization theory is also reflective science, especially when we use qualitative approach and mixed methods studies. Probably, you know, it's not so black and white, it's mixed methods. You can use qualitative, quantitative, also mixed. That is looks to be a kind of trend even nowadays. It's many studies it's somehow use mixed methods, but at the same time it's also because we are part of social sciences, scientist way of writing, we need credibility of any study, we need feedback, evaluation, reflection. We are somehow reflective. I mean that when we write something, at the same time other people must read what we write, and we have to be reflective for our own writing. Also, when we use data, we have to be reflective, especially in qualitative studies. I think it's the process of reflection where people also make sense about themselves. I mean that it's also kind of learning process that way, especially in hermeneutic or phenomenological studies. This reflection is part of writing. And just referring to this feminist writing issue and subject of knowledge, which is also important in postmodernist thinking. Who is the knower? Who can know? Who is the author? Who has the right, legitimized right to know something? And I think the whole process of writing something for the academia or writing something for the refereed journal is about becoming a subject of knowledge. And also maybe a doctoral work even in that, is that kind of process. An object of research or whom we write for. It's something that we study and then we write our findings for someone, some audience. Then what is organization theory? Just to summarize, it's maybe best summarized that it is research done on research. It classifies, makes typologies, describes the state of art, tries to see the change, development that is going on in this field. And in fact, organization theory is part of many business university curriculums. It can be studied many ways. And maybe when we use it in doctoral studies, it's more kind of methodological, it's more going to the basic issues, but using it in earlier study curriculums, it's probably more kind of referring, summarizing issues and picking to the field big names in the background and some central research. And reading organization theory, wherever level you read it, it helps us to locate what we are doing in our study and somehow relate it to broader streams in our study field. Also, theoretical contribution or any study, it relates to the debates that are going on in this study field. So that's one way to somehow say what we are doing and we do our research and somehow relate to organization theory. We have to know what's going on in the study field. It's what are the debates? Where should we somehow relate our own research? There is, of course, not only one body of organization theory, but multiple kind of classifications and typologies. As we can find also in our course, I think that it might be that you find that there is not one classification. When you find one, then you go to another. But I think you also recognize some very deeper level streams there. easily modernism, postmodernism, social constructivism, and so on. That is also one aim of this course, that you start to recognize the kind of basic issues there at the background. Then what is management that is very central in our research on organization theory? What is management and what is leadership? So just I want to give an idea about objectivistic and subjectivistic understanding about management and leadership. So of course managers are change agents. They are part of a radical paradigm in Correll and Morgan understanding. We can even see that way. They are changing something for something. They are progressing the value of the firm that is very functionalistic paradigm, if we use again Correll and Morgan paradigm. So that's, they are change agents, but also they are progressing. They are somehow have the role, they have their task, they are fulfilling just their task. So it's very different two ways to understand management. And also we can see them very objective way. We can just see that they are some managers there. They have their roles, they are individuals there. But the more subjectivistic understanding about management and leadership is to see them in a subjectivistic way, really, within the interpretative paradigm, so to say. They are somehow leaders and managers only if this role is given to them. We cannot understand leadership without subordinateship, so to say, is the message from Smerczyk and Morgan article about leadership as a management of meaning. This is a very classic article that is referred often in this kind of theorizing. Also, a few words about basic issues about in research and in research science or philosophy. So ontology of first, it means how we see the world we study. What is the nature of the world? What kind it is? And if we see it very objectively, we see that the world consists of real entities and they are very independent on human perception. Whereas it will be the other way around. We are somehow creating the social world through interaction. We are at the same time creators when we study the world and social world. And that's why we have to be reflective, because we are subjectively approaching the social world and studying the symbols. So it becomes kind of reality that constrains our behavior. And it's very different compared to objectivistic if we see them somehow very, very opposite ways. And this is comes very much about Berger and Lukman understanding about organizations that I also mentioned later. Whereas epistemology is about how we can gain knowledge. It's about the origins and limits of knowledge, about how it is possible. And there again, it's objectivistic way that the creation and growth of knowledge is very objective. We have to find causal explanation. Maybe we have to use big surveys, big data in order to find this. And we are very much separated from the world. We don't go on and interview people or make qualitative work with the data. We use more laboratory observation, regularities, generalizable knowledge instead. Whereas subjectivistic epistemology is more emergent, more local in understandings. And they thought that we also always have knowledge that is situated. And we have to have descriptions from the insiders. And researchers may become part of the group somehow. So they even have to reflect that way. Sometimes in management research, there are people who study their being at the same time consultants. So especially in that kind of situation, people have to also be reflecting so that they have recognized their own role and recognize their consultant role. And sometimes it's not even very, very easy, but it's possible. It has been made, especially later. Researchers might study what enterprises, organizations where they have been working earlier. Then about Kuhn paradigms of social. Kuhn was starting the, in fact, the understanding of social science is something that is very separate from natural sciences. And he argued that there is the opposition that is needed when social sciences are developing. And there should be some paradigm change at that time. It was 1966 when he wrote his first book about scientific crisis and social sciences developments. Well, he was saying that it's a very non-cumulative nature of scientific evolution, in fact, in social sciences. It's not only that it's cumulative, but it goes on and then it becomes maybe a paradigm change, paradigm crisis. And after that, it's very different after that. So social sciences are deeply separated constructions, was his argument. And what is needed is openness to new methodologies and methods, and kind of subjective nature of knowledge, productive, is important. And in fact, after that, for instance, sociology really was very quantitatively oriented, but now it's, I think, majority even might be very qualitative orientated methodologies that are used in sociology and also in administrative sciences, in organizational studies, especially in Europe, especially in Nordic countries. Qualitative studies are used together with quantitative studies. So it's really open up new methodologies, new kind of approaches, the science paradigms of social sciences that Kuhn was writing and also Berger and Luckmann later. Well, meta theory is a theory about the theory, in fact, very near to what is organization theory. So it's kind of what I kind of philosophical commitments there are. It's about studying the roots and the commitments beyond. And important aspects of meta theory, in fact, are this ontology, epistemology, and also axiology that I referred here a bit. That was not at the list. So it's axiology is about the role of values in theory development. And mostly it is thought that the values cannot be totally rejected from the research process. But sometimes it is said they only play a part in research process, but sometimes it is said they penetrate the research process. Sometimes it is said values should direct the research process. So it is even that way that values are very important. And I think that individually, I think everyone who is making research plan and starting to own research is having some kind of value perspective, some kind of ideas, some kind of questions that concern values or whatever. I mean that nothing is so factual, that's just rational, but it's always values that are also present there. And Murel and Borgan paradigms about, I just very briefly referred there, because it's a big discourse. So it's anyway exactly about this subjective and objective nature of organization studies, and about that it's also about the question if the study is for change or if the study is about regulation. And then there are four boxes in this juxtaposition. that we can see that it's radical humanism, radical structuralism, interpretative sociology, and functionalism. So sometimes it's also practical and interesting to try to locate one's own work within this four boxes, so to say, this crossing ideas there. Are we orientated towards change in our study, or are we more about regulation? Or are we very much subjective, or are we somehow objective? I think that's quite easy, because quite often it goes also to the research methodology. Are we very much orientated with models and quantitative studies, surveys, or are we doing more qualitative research, typical interviews and participative methodologies and so on? Well, anyway, it's a big debate, and I just refer it quite briefly. But it's a talk about ontology and methodology at the same time, because if the study is based on assumptions concerning a social reality and knowledge, then it refers to those four boxes. And this objective-subjective dimension is about the true nature of organizations. Is it true? Somehow, is the reality very, very true? Is it, we take it as such, or is it very constructive and socially negotiated at the same time? And we study the processes there, and how it is done, how gender is, for instance, run in organizations, or do we just take that there are men and women at the organization, which is kind of objective way to understand it. Then this consensus or conflict means to study organizations as arenas of power, arenas of influence. Are we somehow searching in our study, we focus on conflicts, or do we focus on consensus? And this is very, very different study approaches in organizations. And this kind of paradigmatic pluralism is largely recognized, but there are difficulties to compass, analyze. This is based on different paradigms. So usually it's you cannot combine everything together, but usually you have to make also choices during the study. So this functionalist paradigm, which is about the objectiveness and regulation. So this has probably been the primary paradigm in organizational studies. It somehow assumes rational human action and believes that one can understand organizational behavior through hypotheses and hypothesis testing. Whereas interpretative paradigm is about subjectiveness and regulation. It's about seeking to explain the stability of behavior from the individual's standpoint. So it's more focused on ongoing processes, understanding the individual behavior and the nature of the world that way, how people feel there, how they get space in this nature of the world, how they interact, act there. And this paradigm two, which is about change and conflict, a radical humanist paradigm about subjective radical changes. And so it is more about releasing social constraints that limit human potential. It is said that probably there are many, many black sides of organizations, and we should even study those in order to somehow help and support people that they found their own creative forces. And radical structuralist paradigm somehow are focusing on structural conflicts within the society, and somehow are studying how they generate change all the time, and which kind of ownership structures there are, and how we could deal with those, and what is needed for change. And Marx and those ideologies at that time are probably examples from this paradigm. Then there is another way that it's quite similar, but also some different. It's from Hass and Kanvi, which are also referring to Harry Demos and Tsoukas within organization theory field. And they come up with four kind of nature of organization theory. And the first is kind of positive science, so that it creates to create general theories and universal laws. So and sees that organizations are very much working with their in their environments, and they have more natural science kind of ideals. So it's also that part, which is called now here positive science somehow. Then interpretative science is more about this social construction in organizations, so that social world and humans are leading different kind of approaches, and then it brings out to the field symbolism, storytelling, narrative, culture, aesthetics, very different kind of study fields in this interpretative science. Then also this critical science ideas that we need stimulation for reflection. We have to find ideologies, institutions, and we have to be critical on them. And in order to liberate them and find some relations of dominance, and somehow be critical in order to find something new, make some contribution in that. And then there is this postmodern idea about science that we hear on the third day much more, which is about the change as a pervasive phenomena. It is more focused on seeing processes and studying textual reality, power concerns, and also quite often critical concern over the organizational realities, and having the study focus of power and marginalization and discrimination and this kind of thing, and also processes. I mean, that change itself is very, very much that we have to study, and we have to find ways how to do it. Then a few words about science administration. It's also sociology of knowledge that especially Foucault and Derrida and Bourdieu is all as a kind of postmodernistic philosophers, researchers. So they are even critical for science in the way that there are marketing issues in business research. There are sometimes trends and fashions in management, as Mats Alvesson has also criticized, that sometimes it's too much marketing issues, even that we don't go to the basic, but we just go to the new trends and get fascinated, and we not study the basic things. But it's also about that science administration is somehow needed for the body of science. So it's needed for maybe organization theory as well, so that journals somehow pick up research that is relevant for organization theory development. Also positioning management research in university curriculums, also finding own identity of research in organization studies. And science administration within organizational study area is about like EGOS, European Group of Organizational Studies, SCOS, Symbol and Culture in Organization Studies, Academy of Management in United States, and Nordics management organization that also organizes conferences. And all of those also organize and somehow publish journals. So it's good to know a bit about this science administration, and see when we write to some journal, it's also part of this science administration. It's very much difference between the journal sometimes it is the way that we have to write a good journal to submit our article. Sometimes we get bad feedback, but when we just send the article to some other journal, it might fit well to the context that this journal is for, and so on. So it's not so objective, it's not so universal. I mean that some journal is good or your research is good or bad. It fits better to some other journal that likes the ideas and wants to develop them than somehow in reviews. So there are journals and there are themas and professional research, and in a way it really is something that we need to know a bit about. Also, there are funding institutes, Academy of Finland, European Union projects, foundations, TECEX, etc. So many foundations that also have their own ways, and they somehow getting funding to, and they have also strategies where they want to get their funding and so on. So it's part of the science administration even that way. And also the meaning of organization theory for doctoral work, doctoral thesis. Well, I think it's about positioning oneself within the paradigm somehow, to know something about them, to find your own way to write and do your doctoral work. It's also about contextualizing the work, somehow knowing something, having some general knowledge, even if you have to concentrate on your own work. Maybe it's the more you concentrate, the more it's you cannot follow everything that's happening in the field organization theory. But you should know something about the general ideas. Then it's about being critical over research literature. You know that there are maybe journals or maybe publishers that are not so relevant in academic research. It's about finding that literature that is most relevant for you, and follow the progress in the research field that you are doing your work, and also somehow positioning yourself and your own study in terms of contribution, somehow joining the discourses and views for the future, seeing that there are, because when you find your own field, then you are much more restricted, and then you probably find that there is a debate going on between the researchers even, and that's a good finding, because then you know that one part of your work is somehow to relate to that debate, and in fact, referring those that work is kind of discussing, even if it is done by writing. Of course, conferences you can have conversations and discussions and debates with the researchers, so that is authentic that way. Okay, many thanks. This was all about the introduction.